Our reading for Wednesday, May 6th, begins in Acts chapter 14, verse 1. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. Now at Iconium they entered together into the Jewish synagogue, and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with Jews, and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And they were continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be made well, he said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations he allowed the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the works that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and now he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they remained no little time with the disciples. So in chapter 13, we had seen Saul and Barnabas being sent out. We see the change from Saul being called Paul. Then they had begun their travels, and they had great success in the beginning, to the point of even having an entire city listening to them. But opposition arose. The Jews became jealous. They began to stir up others against them and causing them to have to move on. So in chapter 14, we have basically the same situation, but we have just a little bit more information from Luke in that he's talking about the signs and the wonders that are being done by their hands. Notice the way that Luke puts it in verse 3, that they were speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders. So when we talk about miracles done by the apostles and the purpose of miracles, We've always pointed out that it was to prove that the word that they were speaking was from God. And that's what Luke is describing here in verse 3, that the Lord bore witness to the word that they were speaking through these signs and wonders by their hands. But the people were divided, some with the Jews, some with the apostles. And then we begin to see opposition, not just by the Jews, but the Jews have managed to get some Gentiles on their side too, so that they can begin to stir up mobs. And this is where we really start to see that opposition, to the point that we're going to go in, we're going to influence people, and we're going to stir them up in such a way that they will assist us in this persecution. So when we get into verse 8, we have this man that had never been able to walk, that Paul tells him, stand upright on your feet. The Lord heals him. He springs up and begins walking. Now, we've got many people today that will state that they can perform miracles today, but it's always something vague with no type of proof at all. And you don't see them healing someone, for example, that has never been able to walk and begins walking. But you do see that here. It is beyond any shadow of a doubt that a miracle has been performed. The charlatans today will make sure that they either have it set up or they have such a vague circumstance no one can confirm whether anyone has actually been healed. So the reaction of the crowds is to assign the pagan deities to them. They state in verse 11, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas called Zeus, Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus wants to come and offer sacrifices. And this would have been very distressing to Paul and Barnabas. It says they tore their garments. They rushed out into the crowd. Man, why are you doing these things? Basically, they're saying we're men just like anybody else. It's just the only difference is they've been sent by God and that God backs up what they're doing with these miracles. But it's not Paul and Barnabas that are doing miracles. It is God that's doing these miracles. And so it's very distressing that they would assign these pagan deities to them and try to make these sacrifices when they're trying to turn people from paganism over to the one true and living God. And so they use this to speak to them. Verse 16, talking about them walking in their own ways. Verse 17, he didn't leave them without witness. There's those good things that they can see that are done that point toward God himself. Verse 19, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium persuaded the crowds, and they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Now, Luke does not come out and state this, but I have always made an assumption here, and take that for what it's worth. It's my assumption, and that's all it is, my opinion, is that God preserved Paul here, and he probably looked dead to everybody else. Possibly God, you know, intervened in such a way to lead them to that conclusion, because, you know, the disciples gather around him after he's been drug out of the city, and he gets up and goes back into the city. Now, I'm not going to pretend that Paul wasn't hurt in any way and that he just sprang up and ran back to the city, but, you know, he's well enough after being left for dead that he was able to go back to the city, and that he continues preaching the gospel and strengthening the souls of the disciples to continue in the faith. So that's, I believe this to be a miraculous event here. But again, take that for what it's worth. That's just my assumption and my thoughts on the passage. So they begin to go back, and of course they begin to appoint elders for them in every church. We start to see the pattern emerging that God has set forth for the church, that they should have elders to lead them, to shepherd the flock of God that was among them. And so they are making those appointments as they go back through. So then verse 24 and following, they're going back through, speaking the word. Perga, Attalia sailed to Antioch, where they had been sent off from. When they get there, they gather the church together and they give a report. Now, I mentioned to you that when they were sent off, the elders there, the church there, had laid hands on them, giving their approval and giving, you know, some measure of authority being sent out from that church. I'm going to insert another assumption into here, is that they probably provided the means for them to do these travels. Funds for them to pay for passage to sail and different things like that. And so it's right and good that they should come back and give a report to that church. Or even we might say give an account for what they did in order to give them that report, because they had supported them. And it says they remained no little time with the disciples. Any congregation that is supporting an evangelist needs to know what activities they're undertaking and how the support is going and how the work is going, so that they can make those future decisions about continuing that support and where those funds might be needed. So it's right then and still right today that those reports need to be made on a regular basis. And that includes the ability to pray for them and to praise God for, the gospel being preached and the activity that's going on, the disciples that are being made and strengthened. So a little bit shorter reading today, but that concludes chapter 14. We're going to get into chapter 15 tomorrow. So I would ask that you come back for that, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.